Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. If you're joining us for the first time, we're teaching through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 10-minute episodes over 3 years. This is episode 18, a lesson called A Covenant by Faith Alone. Today, Stephen is in Genesis 15 through 17. Too often, we fail to rest in God's promises. Fear creeps in and overcomes our faith. And this is nothing new. Even Abraham, a man of great faith, faltered at times. Yet, his failures gave rise to God's assurances and reminders that God's promises are as sure as He is faithful. Let's learn more together right now.
One of the great hymns of the church sings these lyrics, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God." You know, it's one thing to sing that. It's another thing to live it. And that's the challenge facing Abram and Sarai in Genesis 15 through 17. Abram happens to be more fearful than faithful, and the Lord's going to reaffirm His promise here. Over in verse 1 of chapter 15, God reassures him, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Abram goes on to complain in verse 2, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless?" In other words, we still don't have that promised baby. I'm trying to stand on the promises of God, but my feet of faith keep slipping. By the way, Abram is now in his 80s, and that's not exactly the time you go out to buy a baby crib and a diaper pail. The Lord tells Abram, though, to go outside and look up at the sky. Here in verse 5, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you're able to number them, so shall your offspring be." Then in verse 6, He tells us that Abram believed the Lord, and He counted it to him as righteousness. God counted it as righteousness. That means God declared Abram to be righteous or justified by means of his faith. Abram hasn't done anything but believe the word of God. Being made righteous or right with God is always a matter of believing the word of God. God says His free gift is eternal life if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, Romans 6:23. He does all the work. We simply believe by faith alone. Now, the Lord repeats His promise of giving the land to Abram's descendants, the Hebrew nation, here in verse 7. This isn't a figurative promise. God is talking about literal real estate. By the way, this promise has not changed. God will finally and completely give Israel the promised land when Christ rules on earth during the kingdom. What we've seen so far in human history is only temporary. It's only a partial fulfillment of this promise. Well, Abram asked the Lord here in verse 8, "How am I to know that I shall possess it?" And the Lord responds by telling Abram to prepare for a covenant ceremony. Now, this might seem strange to us because we're used to signing contracts with lawyers in the room. But to Abram, a covenant ceremony would have been well enough. There are several kinds of covenants in the Old Testament. You had a salt covenant when you gave the other party a pinch of your salt. There was a sandal covenant where you gave someone your sandal, signifying he could walk in your shoes. And those covenants stood unless, well, they got their pinch of salt back or you got that sandal back. But a blood covenant was irreversible. An animal would be killed and divided in two. The parties to the covenant would walk in between those pieces to ratify their agreement. You might get your sandal back, but you're not going to put that animal back together again in life. God even brings a deep sleep upon Abram here in verse 12, and then God alone moved in between the animal pieces. The Lord's presence is symbolized in verse 17 by a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, much like that later pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So God isn't going to depend on Abram or his descendants. This is a promise God is keeping all by himself. But as Abram sleeps, the Lord gives him a prophetic dream about the future. Verse 13 says this, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years." That prophecy is exactly what took place as the nation of Israel ended up in the land of Egypt for 400 years. Well, down in verse 18, God concludes his promise to Abram by saying, "To your offspring I will give this land." Literally translated, "I have given this land." In other words, it's as good as done, Abram. You can stand on the promises of God. But Abram ends up tripping over these promises, and we read in Genesis 16 and verse 1, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar." Now get the scene. Abram's 85 years old. They still don't have a son. "I have a hard time waiting on God for a few days. I can't imagine waiting all these years." And the problem is here, they decide to implement plan B. Beloved, whenever you set aside God's plans and implement your own plan B, a trainload of trouble is about to follow. And here in verse 3, Abram takes Sarai's maidservant Hagar, lies with her, and she conceives. Verse 4 tells us that as soon as Hagar conceives, she hates or despises Sarai. Sarai retaliates by banishing her. We're told here in verse 7 that the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar, and he promises to bless her with a son, and even tells her to name her son Ishmael, meaning God hears. Instead of waiting for the miraculous birth of their son, whose descendants will become the Jewish nation, Abram and Sarai's plan B results in the birth of Ishmael, who will grow up and father the Arab nations. And if you haven't noticed, the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac are still fighting over the promised land to this day, thousands of years later. And by the way, the fighting isn't going to stop permanently until Jesus descends to set up his kingdom on earth with Jerusalem as his capital city. And all who believe in him, Jewish and Arab, European and African, American and Asian believers, all the redeemed will one day rejoice together in the kingdom, united by their faith in Christ. Now, the last verse of chapter 16 and the first verse of chapter 17 are separated by 13 years. And as Genesis 17 opens, we're told now that Abram is 99 years old. In other words, it's humanly impossible for Abram and Sarai to have a baby, which is why God introduces himself to Abram in verse 1 by a brand new name, El Shaddai, God Almighty. As if to say, what's impossible now biologically is not impossible supernaturally. And now God changes Abram's name to Abraham here in verse 5. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude. Now talk about standing on the promises, a multitude. God now informs Abraham in verse 9 through verse 14 about the sign of this covenant, the sign of circumcision. That's the cutting away of the foreskin, and that will distinguish the Jewish people from the surrounding nations. It'll also remind them that God's promises are not dependent on their procreation, their flesh, which is symbolically cut away in circumcision. No, this covenant is going to be dependent on the promises of God. Well, now here in verse 15, the Lord changes Sarai's name to Sarah and promises her that she will deliver a son. The name Sarai refers to the princess of one family. Sarah refers to the princess of many families. And again, God is stretching their faith. And Abraham has a hard time believing it. And he laughs to himself here in verse 17 and says, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" I mean, I'm 100 years old and my wife is 90. Lord, you got to be kidding. Well, God isn't kidding, is he? Well, if I were God, I think I would have started over with somebody else, somebody more faithful to the promises. But thank God for his grace and his patience with Abraham and with Sarah. Oh, and by the way, with you and with me. Despite the doubting, the failing of his children, the Lord always keeps his promises. And beloved, we are in the best place possible when we trust him. We trust him. No plan B. We just ask him for his plan A. That's what it means to stand on the promises of God. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. To learn more about our ministry or to support us with a donation, visit wisdomonline.org. The Wisdom Journey is first and foremost a video series. To watch each of these lessons, subscribe on YouTube. Search for The Wisdom Journey or Wisdom International on YouTube and you'll find our channel. There's also a link in the show notes. That's all for today. Join us next time as we continue on the Wisdom Journey.